We are in Jude. We should possibly conclude this thing tonight, because it doesn't take very long to talk about perishing in the gainsaying of Kor. Jude 11. Perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Let's just look at that really quick. We did Sunday night. We did the way of Cain, envy. And this morning we did running greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. His way was to lie for money and to put forth a false gospel, false teachings, and he got paid for it as such. We compared that to the modern pastors of today and such, but that was the error. The error was that he went back to him. He went back to Balak. He could have stayed out of it. He would have been fine, but he didn't. He went back. And then tonight we're just going to do a quick couple of minutes that this perished in the gainsaying of Kor. And gainsaying is the key word here. And gainsaying is the thing that's bringing us closer together to what's going on today. Remember, the whole topic of this thing is that tomorrow's warnings drawing closer today. And we see these things happening more and more. It isn't something that's just always been around. Maybe because I'm out of the circle, the Baptist circle or the church circle or the pastor circle or whatever, which is a good place to be out of the camps. I just see what's going on out there, and it's gainsaying. Well, gainsaying, define, contradicting. Gainsaying is contradicting, 1828 dictionary, not some modern dictionary, but it's contradicting. It's denying, and it's in opposition. It's what gainsaying would be. Just like Paul talks about the gainsayers, they contradict what Paul has to teach. They contradict they deny what it is that Paul teaches, and they oppose it. They're in opposition against the stuff that's being preached by Paul. And yes, there are Paul people out there that are still contradicting. There are Paul preachers out there that are still denying the simplistic truth. There are still those Paul people out there who are opposing what it is that Paul simply said and what he didn't say. And what makes this so important is this guy, this Kor, which is, and there's three different spellings here. The other one is K-O-R-A-H. So if we go back to Numbers 16, you see what we're talking about here. This bunch of Korites contradicted what Moses had to say. They denied what Moses told them to do. They opposed what it is that he had to do, which in that time was opposing God, which is contradicting what God said, and is denying what Moses told these people to do or to believe. And so they did all that. And as a result, they perished. This is the simple of the three. The way of Cain, envy. Heir of Balaam, going back to Balak and doing his false teaching for money. And perished in the gainsaying of Kor. That's going against what God says. That's denying that God said what God said. That is going in opposition to what God says. Today, that's contradicting what the King James Bible says. So there's 500 or so different Bible versions out there. They deny that the King James Bible is the Word of God. They never say theirs is either. They just will not. They'll deny that the King James is the only Word of God. And they oppose it all the time. Okay? They contradict what Paul has to say. They deny that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. And they are always opposing what it is that Paul teaches, because it goes against what Jesus taught to the Jews. And it goes against what Peter and John and James and Jude teach in their books. So, the perishing aspect of it, this is why we need to be super thankful that we don't have to worry about this. This is the importance of eternal security. This is the importance of understanding how what actually took place during salvation. That it isn't something that can be returned and gone back. But also knowing that in the tribulation they can lose it. And here's what he says, Judah's warning to these people. You know, these people, these filthy dreamers, he says, they're perished. They're gone. And the gainsaying of Kor. And so let's just look and see what it is that took place in Numbers 16, for example. Numbers 16. And be so thankful, because we've all done something that deserves this, what happened to these people. And pastors and preachers, they seem to leave it to the possibility that God still might do this to you if you disobey his words, if you go against his words, if you contradict his his words, you know, kind of a thing where they're contradicting and going against what Paul teaches. They better be happy that God doesn't do what he did back in the days of Korah, or Kor. Look at 16, number 16, 1 to 3. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, etc., etc., verse 2, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? First it sounds good. Well, you guys, you're working too hard. But then the whole direction is, we're just as good as you, and so who do you think you are to lift yourselves up above the congregation? Moses, when he heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and to all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him who he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. So no, Moses knew what was coming, but I'm complaining like this. Well, let's go down to verse 13. It is a small thing. 12. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? So look at it. There's envy here, you know, really. And they think they're just as good as. And the problem here with modern preachers today is they do put themselves above the people too far. They do think that because they know the Greek and the Hebrew, they do think because they've been to college, and they know this thing better than anybody else. And yes, y'all out there and me out there and all the different people, we got a King James Bible. We can sit and read this thing and get stuff out of this Bible that the other person won't. But the object lesson here is the fact that it wasn't Moses they were going against. They're going against God. God chose Moses to do the job, and in those Old Testament days, that's who they had to obey and follow. We are chosen to follow Paul. It's easy word chosen, but we are assigned to follow Paul. When we go against what Paul says, we're going against what God says. The risen Savior, that's the point. It's the risen Savior that we're listening to. So people that have these red letter Bibles, they're actually listening to the wrong words of Jesus. Sure, those are fantastic words of Jesus speaking, but what Jesus told Paul what to speak, and he said he was going to tell him that, Acts 26 and Acts 22 and Acts 24 and Acts 13 and Acts 8. That was what Paul was supposed to do. So those really are the words of the risen Savior. So the whole that whole red letter thing is so confusing to people, they don't even know it. So anyway, because of that, these people, God killed them. And look at verse 19. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from this congregation, from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Oh, I've always wanted to say that and have it happen, you know. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan, Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. See how thankful we need to be? Because we've been around these people. We've been around bad people. We've been around what we see here that is coming around. We've been with these people, and some people are still with them. They just can't break away from that. Now, aren't we thankful and glad that God isn't going to do to us what he did to them and what he's going to do to them during the tribulation? Well, what did he do to them? Maybe you haven't read the whole story. Okay, let's keep going here. Where are we at? 27. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses, a good guy Moses, said, "Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind." See? I'm here to teach and preach Paul. It's not my own mind. It's what God has said. And God hasn't said it to me. He said it to this King James Bible. And I've been able to dig it up and preach it and teach it, and it's fine. I'm not a Moses. But this Bible is the Word of God. And anytime we do anything contrary, we're doing a Korah thing. When we do it for money, we're doing a Balaam thing. And when we're jealous of somebody else, why we do it, we're doing a Cain thing. And aren't we glad we're not in the tribulation? Well, how do you know we aren't? Well, follow Paul. There's no 666 threat yet. There's no world government yet. There's no world economy yet. Boy, sure things are getting close, aren't they? Anyway, back to this thing. So, it's not that I'm trying to put myself into a Moses position here as a pastor. There's a purpose for a pastor. I won't get into that. And it's not to be like Moses. We have the Word of God in this King James Bible. What God told Moses to speak, Moses spoke. He wasn't like all the rest of the gang, and they weren't like him. What God tells me to speak, he could tell you to speak the same thing, because he tells us all to speak it and say it and live it in this King James Bible. The King James Bible is our authority, not me. Moses was their authority. So you go against what I say, you're not going against what I say, you're going against what the Word of God says. The hard part for me is to let it go when it happens. Wait a minute, I just preached that. Why would you go off and do this after what I just said about these movies and stuff, and you end up taking your kids to these movies? I don't understand that. Well, lots of people did things that I remember. What do you got on here? Lots of people did things back in those days because I said that's what it was. So they go out and do it. Ornery little things, aren't they, in churches? Which is why Paul warns us about envy within the church in Corinthians. Okay, anyway, so here we go. This is really quite a story. And this is the part where people, you get mad at God for this. You know? Verse 29. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appertaining to them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Not Moses, but they provoked the Lord. So, you know, how many times as a preacher or a pastor have I wanted to say, you know what, if I'm right, I just, about what I'm saying here, about Paul and et cetera, then when you, next time you go to another church and listen to the Gospels being preached in a false manner, then I pray that your pew falls down into the ground or something, you know? Then you know that whole thing was from the Lord. We don't get that kind of stuff today. This isn't a physical kingdom. God doesn't have to prove a thing. He's given us his Bible. That Bible proves everything. And yes, in the Old Testament, these people were killed. They went against God. You don't go against God. And one of the things that we recognize when we realize that God is who God is and God did what God did, for us to realize just how serious it was for Christ to pay the penalty on the cross. It wasn't just a little hard time. It was all this wrath combined into one person. It was all of sin put onto him. And back before we had Christ to pay for our sins, these people paid horribly because it was sin. As great and marvelous as heaven is, great and marvelously bad does hell have to be? He says in verse 31, and it came to pass, you got to picture this stuff, and it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. You can imagine, just picture the scene here. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from the congregation. What a thing to witness! And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, "Lest the earth swallow us up also." And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Now, there's what happened in those days when people went against what God said, and against what Moses had to say. That's quite the story. So what do we get out of this? Go back to Jude. For one thing, if somebody's going to preach Jude, is preached to us today, then they've got to realize that we have the possibility of being killed by God. And why aren't all these Bible version people that write all these different Bibles, why haven't they had those plagues put on them yet? Why haven't they been killed? That's what it says in Revelation. Yeah, but see, that's part of Revelation. That's the millennium. And when they contradict the Bible, Zechariah, I think, as Zephaniah says, that they go out there and they teach anything to anybody, God will kill them because everybody will already have the truth in them and they'll know. So we have to realize that there's parts of this Bible that aren't written to us. Jude is not a warning to us. Jude is a warning to the people in the tribulation. You can't be a verse picker-outer. You can't pick and choose what you rightly divide and what you don't rightly divide. We are told to follow Paul, not pick and choose amongst all these, which fits our Baptistic thinking. Dr. Ruckman teaches it this way. Well, Dr. Hiles teaches it this way. Yeah, but Dr. Blakey teaches it this way. Blakey and Dr. Flakey teaches it this way. And Dr. Wakey, I mean, no, it's so simple. We don't need these guys. We need a King James Bible rightly divided, and we find out that what's going on in the churches, the pastors are envious. People in the churches are envious. They're getting more and more that way. That there's more and more people doing the false teaching for money, just like the heir of Balaam, and going back to the original things here, and perished, and they're gonna die in the tribulation, just like these people died in the Kor's little crowd. Well, that doesn't mean the earth is going to open up, but you read through the tribulation, they're going to die some horrible deaths. But they're going to perish in the gainsaying of Kor, in the contradicting that Korah did to Moses, and the denying what Moses said as the God. And the gainsaying, the opposition that they gave to Moses. Now, you give opposition to me, you deny what I say, you contradict what I say, who cares? But if it's the King James Bible you're denying and contradicting and opposing, you just better be thankful that you've got the Savior as your the risen Savior as your Savior, and be hopeful that you do. Because if you don't, you're going to slip right in here. This tribulation thing is the closest it seems to be getting here. You're going to perish in the gainsaying of Kor. So, if you go back to Numbers again, Numbers 16. The question here would be, has anybody learned their lesson? Well, let's look at number 16 here. Number 16, go down to verse 36. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. Okay. So the censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for covering of the altar. And they offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed. And they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. Well, here that's everybody. You always got to have signs. Eleazar took the priest, took the brazen censers, wherewith that they were burnt head offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar. Sounds like a Catholic church, doesn't it? To be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he may be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. Now look at this. Did everybody learn their lesson? Verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses. Men, you know, if a preacher had that kind of power. But every time I think something like that, I realize, you know, in the millennium, people are going to fight against the Lord. And there he is, face to face. So We just got to be thankful for God's grace and His mercy. And understand what Paul teaches is different than what Jesus taught to the Jews. It's just that simple. Anyway, murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord." See, they're blaming Moses for this thing. Again. And I'm going to say it anyway. And, you know, whatever. How many people are blaming me for what has happened to the church? How many people are blaming me for what has happened to their family? How many people are blaming me for what their kids have grown up to do after they've shown them movie after movie after movie and been in every high-tech machine, killing this and that, whatever? I mean, the list goes down, mile long. Sure, blame me. Blame the preacher. Even the man that told everybody, don't blame the messenger, you know, blames the messenger to this day. And this is exactly what they're doing here. Murmured against Moses and against Aaron. You have killed the people of the Lord. You drove those people out of church with the truth. What's the matter with you? You could have been nicer. You could have been softer. You could have done a different lesson. You didn't have to preach about the schools when you knew school people were in the congregation. I didn't know that. You didn't have to say what you said knowing somebody was there. I gave them the truth. King James Bible, rightly divided. Well, I don't think it gave it to them right. You know what you're doing? You're acting like these people did after Korah. You have killed the people of the Lord. You drove them away. You did this. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell upon their faces. Well, we just need to be so thankful that we have the risen Savior. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun." And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And then the plague was stayed, their last verse. They didn't learn. And I'm sure that anybody hears me say that will probably be able to have proof. Well, I can prove it was your fault. No, it's the Bible. And some people think it's their fault when somebody leaves them, when they try to teach them the Bible. You know, we can go to psychology school, and learn how to manipulate the people to maybe believe this. We can give them books on economy and the gold and the whole thing. You know, what's going to work is the Word of God. And if the Word of God isn't going to work, some book from some college economy school isn't going to win anybody to God. That's why at the end of all these books we have out there, none of them, I mean none of them, tell people how to go to the risen Savior through Paul. They say you need Jesus. They need to say you need to trust in God and believe God, all these kind of things. None of them tell them to go to a rightly divided King James Bible with Paul. They're all just a bunch of Balaamites making money, and they're doing it for reward. And people that want to blame the preacher or blame God or contradict what the Bible says about salvation or a King James Bible or about church attendance and church going and the godliness without the power thereof, denying the power thereof, go oppose all that stuff. When you die during the dispensation of grace, you still go to hell. When you die during the tribulation, it can be a lousy, horrible death. It can be a lousy, horrible death during the dispensation of grace, too. But not as a punishment. Our flesh still is full of sin. Nobody says that now that we're saved, we don't have to worry about getting cancer. Sure we do. It's our bodies. They're filthy. They're worthless. They're sinful. They're dirt. And during Korah's day, God killed him that way. So what we have going on here is getting closer and closer We're not in the tribulation. I got to make sure to make this clear. We're not in the tribulation. There are people that believe we are. I said, this is the tribulation. It's not that bad. Get yourself a good job. Maybe somebody would die and leave some of their estate. I mean, it'd be nice if somebody did out there would still leave. But see, they won't do this because they think they're leaving it to me. No, you're leaving it to God to keep this website going, to keep the preaching going. All sorts of things can be done during this dispensation still. But otherwise, we're full of envy. It's getting worse and worse and worse. People go after America, I believe, because they're envious of America. And the news people lately, the politicians have been saying that they're envious. Yes, they are. I think the world has always been envious of America, so they destroy it. They're envious of Jesus, they destroyed him. They're envious of Joseph, they try to destroy him. They're envious of Paul, they try to destroy him. Envy, the way of Cain. And these preachers, I was going to do it tonight, but I don't think I will. I think I'll leave it at that, make it a little bit shorter. Because I want to show you, I want to go back through Jude now. And who's he talking about here? And this whole, well, maybe we still can do it here. The whole book is geared around verse 4. Jude 4. Every time he mentions these, he says in verse 8, these filthy dreamers. He said in verse 10, these speak evil of those things. He says in verse 11, woe unto them. 12, these are your spots. 14, prophesied of these. 16, these are murmurers. Who are these? They're in verse 4. There are those men that have crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God, that's Paul's teaching, is the grace of our God, into lasciviousness. We went through that last week. It's a long list of what it is, and this is really what's happening today. And they're denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the risen Jesus. That's who these people are that we're talking about here. But what we see going on today in the churches, this is my two cents, we see these kind of men taking the grace of God and turning it into works. They're turning it into worldly works. They're turning it into queered works. They're turning it into perverted works. They're turning it into worldly works. In due time, it's going to be so bad it's going to be considered lasciviousness. And they're actually denying the Lord God. Is this King James Bible the word of truth? Well, you bet it is. Is an NIV Bible the word of truth? No, it's not. Then how can it be the gospel of their salvation? These people have been denied the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't follow Paul, you're not following God. You follow Jesus' teachings in the gospels, then you have another Jesus. You follow the teachings in the tribulation books, you're following the wrong teachings. You don't have the real Jesus. I think we'll leave it at that tonight, and we'll pick it up Wednesday night with, we'll finish up the book of Jude by talking about who these people are. And there's more, you can read the book yourself, you know. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. See, to me, without a doubt, that's music. Sensual. Smoothie music. Mockers. We have mockers in the King James churches, mocking people that preach Paul. Then you got Paul guys that out there preach Paul, but they don't preach Timothy and Titus, and they don't preach those things. They don't preach all of what Paul teaches. They just live on grace only. Hyper grace. Yeah. Grace is grace. It's 100% there. But you doesn't just go out and do everything you want. All things are lawful. But Paul puts the word, but, all things are lawful. But, I think the word's but, I don't know what sure it is. But all things are not expedient. There's Paul guys that are taking the grace of God and turning it into lasciviousness just as well. So, we're running down on who people are. Running down on the truth. Truth has never been a majority welcoming thing. Religion has been. Now we got, I guess this Tebow guy lost today, so that was good for people to realize maybe Tebow isn't quite blessed by God. It's amazing what religion people will follow. Anyway, there you go. There's the stuff for tonight. Just kind of short, but there's a lot in that book of Jude, but it's not to us. But it sure is there for us.